evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 210 in our own hymn book, first hymn in the order of service, "The Love That Jesus Had For Me, to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell." We'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our prayers, please. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look afresh to the Lord tonight for His help and blessing in this gospel meeting. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence tonight with joy and praise in our hearts and in our souls for Thy love, O God, toward us, that love that has been revealed in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered upon that cruel tree of Calvary. Father, we thank Thee, O God, that Thy Word declares that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank that Christ came and He died that we might have life abundant and that we might have life eternal through putting our faith and trust in Him as Savior and Lord and as our Redeemer. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight that we can rejoice in the precious blood of Christ, that blood, O God, that cleanseth us from all sin, We thank Thee, O God, tonight that we can rejoice in the riches of Thy grace that is sufficient for our every need. And Father, we thank Thee that when with Christ as our Savior, we can rejoice in the great hope of heaven, that hope of life eternal and of life evermore. And Father, we thank Thee for the blessings of God to us throughout this Thine own day. We thank Thee, Father, for the Sabbath day of rest, when we can set aside the things of time and sense and meet together in public worship in the house of God with the saints of God around the Word of God. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the great promise of Christ, when He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. And Father, we plead that promise of God before Thee. The hymn writer could sing of the blessing and praise the Lord for the blessing of the Lord being near. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt draw near to us tonight, Lord, in this gospel meeting. And Lord, Thou hast said in Thy word that if we draw nigh unto Thee, Thou hast said, I will draw nigh unto You. And Father, we would pray from this opening hymn to the last amen, that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord in this meeting house tonight. And Father, we ask that Thou wilt outpour Thy Holy Spirit upon us, and that Thou wilt bless every heart, from the very youngest to the oldest, Lord, in this meeting. May each one of us know and hear the still, small voice of God to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. We thank Thee for each and every believer in Christ in our meeting. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy people, that Thou wilt encourage and strengthen and build up Thy people in their most holy faith. Help us, Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power, O God, of Thy might. Should there be any cold at heart, give that restoring, reviving touch that comes from God. For any, Lord, that are gathered with us tonight, old or young, and still unsaved, still strangers to grace and to God, Father, we pray this very night that Thou wilt speak to them, that Thou, Lord, will arrest them by Thy Spirit and power and grace, and that Thou would bring them savingly and believingly unto the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We thank Thee that Christ has said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Father, we pray, O God, this night, through the going forth of Thy word, that some soul or souls will make their peace, O God, with Thee, through knowing Christ and trusting Him as Savior. Remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon them, that Thou wilt encourage them and strengthen them at this time, and give them help and give them succor, O God, we pray. Remember, Lord, those that have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts, we pray. Be unto them all that they would need and require, and fill that vacant chair, O God, with the presence of the Lord. Remember all those also listening in online, whoever they are, wherever they might be. We pray that Thou wilt speak to them, O God, this very night as well, and that they too might know the blessing of the Lord. For any listening in unsaved especially, speak to them, and may they come and trust the Lord as their own and personal Savior. Bless our land tonight, O God. Bless all our sister congregations. We pray for every minister, every student, every layman, Lord, who will preach Thy word. May they know the help and the blessing of God to be upon them. And Lord, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that Thou would own it and bless it, Lord, this night, to the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Do abide with us now, we pray. Close out every distracting thought that is not of Thee. Outpour Thy Spirit, convict of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come, and see if precious souls, Lord, this night. For we pray this all for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word for our Bible reading to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We're turning to Isaiah chapter number 27, and we're reading just from verse 1 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 6. You'll find the book of Isaiah in the middle part of the Old Testament, one of the major prophets, a book that has much to say to us about Christ and the gospel. And we're reading tonight from Isaiah chapter 27, beginning our reading at the verse number 1 of the chapter. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together this evening. Isaiah chapter 27 and the verse number 1. "In that day the Lord, with a sword and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 6. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his precious and eternal and fallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome all this Lord's Day evening to our gospel meeting. It's good to see each one gathered with us tonight. We bid you a very special welcome. And if you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visit us, to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home, you'll know the blessing of the Lord. If you're a believer tonight, may you be drawn closer to the Lord, your Savior. But if you're not saved, may this night you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. We also welcome those as well viewing online. We pray the Lord will bless you through his word this night as well, and that you'll know the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the door-to-door outreach tomorrow afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., just letterboxing the literature around the homes. Pray for that. Pray for God's blessing upon every tract and every little booklet that goes into the homes. Every one of them is a preacher, a sermon, and God's word has promised that his word will not return unto him void. Pray that they'll be received and read, and if you can come along and help, well, we'll be glad to see you on Monday afternoon. Tuesday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting in Tresna, and then 8 o'clock here in our own church buildings, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It'll be in the form of a missionary prayer meeting, and our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be with us to give a report and update on his work and to bring God's word. So remember that. Pray for our brother as he comes. Him and our brother, Noel Shields, are doing a tremendous work at present at this time, around different towns and villages, preaching in the open air, and God has given them many wonderful opportunities to share the gospel with many who pass by. So remember that, and there'll also be an offering for our brother as well to help him in his ministry. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting here. Remember that and pray for the boys and girls as they gather. And then our youth fellowship are having an outing down to Castle Ardsdale Country Park at 8 p.m. We commend that to all the young people. All young people are welcome, and welcome to bring their friends with them as well. And we pray that that'll be a good night of fellowship. Next Lord's Day, the 20th of June, is our annual Children's Day services. Sunday school at 11 a.m. in the morning, morning service 12 noon, and then the afternoon service at 3:30. So do please note there'll be no evening service. Always in Children's Day, it's in the afternoon at 3:30. And the guest speaker is Mr. Noel Shields, an evangelist with our mission board. And the children will be taking part morning and evening, afternoon, and they'll be having their prize giving as well. So pray for them especially, that they know God's help, and we encourage you to make it known and do all you can to invite and bring a friend along with you, maybe a family member, a friend, whatever. There's wee invites out there on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those and give them out and invite and bring someone along with you to the services next Lord's Day. And that will be an encouragement, no doubt, to the children and to the boys and girls as they take part in the services. Do please note that our drive-in services will be recommencing in Enniskill and Mart, really this night, fortnight. That's the Lord's Day evening, the 27th of June at 7 p.m. That's just down the road a little bit. We had them last year and they went very well. We encourage you to pray for these meetings. They'll be every Lord's Day evening through the month of July at 7 p.m. And then they will conclude with a three-night gospel mission, Friday night, the 30th of July at 8 p.m., Saturday night, the 31st of July at 8 p.m., and then the final meeting, the Lord's Day, the 1st of August at 7 p.m., and the evangelist, the Reverend John Morrow. So remember that. Pray for those meetings. Make them known. And invite and encourage others to come and to listen to the Word of God, even as they drive in and sit in the comfort of their car in the will of the Lord. The Youth Council are having a teaching day this coming Saturday. That is the 19th of June from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And that is in Portadown Free Presbyterian Church Hall. All young people are welcome. And any young people here wishing to go, contact our youth representative, Mr. Richard Edwards, and he'll fill you in with the details for that. But we commend that to the young people, especially on Saturday. Do also please pray for the Reverend John Wagner, one of our ministers in America, whose wife went home to be with the Lord this past week. Remember him and his family in your prayers. And then also there has been a prayer request as well for our brother, the Reverend Paul Foster, and his wife and child, who are missionaries out in Uganda. The family are ill at this time. Brother Paul has typhoid. His wife is unwell as well, and the little baby as well. So we ask you to pray for them. I understand they're alone, really, just in the compound at this time out in Uganda. So just pray that the Lord will undertake and raise them up at this time and meet their need. And that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again to that passage that we read earlier, to Isaiah chapter 27. Before we come to the preaching of God's Word, maybe we could just stand to our feet to change our position before the ministry of God's Word, please. Our Heavenly Father, we just bring before Thee tonight our brother, the Reverend Foster, and his wife and child who are ill out there in Uganda. We bring them to Thee tonight in faith. We bring them to Thee tonight in prayer. And we would ask, O God, that Thou who art the great physician would lay on Thy healing hand, and that Thou would raise them up at this time, we pray. Meet their every need, encourage them, and protect them. And Lord, just grant them the strength and the help that they need from the Lord, and minister to them and to their needs at this time. Remember the Reverend Wagner as well. Lord, comfort his heart and his family's hearts at this time of bereavement as well. May they know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. Bless us now as we come to Thy precious and holy Word. Lord, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Lord, hide man far behind the cross tonight. We pray that in everything that is said and done, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be honored and glorified, we pray. We pray that the saints of God would be blessed through the ministry of the gospel, and that sinners would be converted unto Thee, and that Christ the Savior will be uplifted. Undertake for us now. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. We pray for that power that comes from on high to preach your word. Give right words. Give clarity, plainness, simplicity of speech. Give liberty in the Holy Ghost, we pray. And grant that every word would be as thus, and thus saith the Lord. Draw very near, O God, we pray. Shut out the world and all that is not of Thee. May the things of God tonight, the things of eternity, and the great issues of heaven and hell be very real to every heart and to every soul in this meeting. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. You may be seated. Now, our text of Scripture tonight really consists of two verses, and you'll find them in our Bible reading there this evening, verse 4 and verse 5 of Isaiah chapter number 27. Let me read those verses with you again. Here the Lord is speaking. And he says, "Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me." Now, in one of his famous hymns, Charles Wesley said these words. He said, "Depth of mercy can there be, mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare?" And with those words, he really tells of the mercy of God, and how the mercy of God is wonderfully displayed in the salvation of sinners through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And people, we are reminded of this same great mercy in our Bible reading here this evening. In these verses here before us, the Lord himself is speaking to us through his servant Isaiah of old. And in the chapter, you'll see how he speaks in particular about the Lord's care of ancient Israel, of the nation and the people of Israel. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 of the chapter. He says, "In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day." And that speaks there of the Lord's care of Israel, and those words not only apply to the land of Israel and ancient Israel, but there are words also that can be applied to God's believing people and to the church of Jesus Christ even today. But as well as telling of the care of the Lord for his people, the Lord also here tells of his judgment upon those who oppose him, those who are his enemies, and those who oppose his people. And he speaks of that judgment in particular in verse 1 of the chapter, where he says, "In that day the Lord with his sword and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." You'll notice there in that verse that Leviathan, a huge sea creature of Old Testament times, is mentioned. And the mention here of Leviathan is really used as an illustration of those at this time who were the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of God's ancient people. And you'll see there that in the verse number 1, how the Lord speaks of a sword of judgment falling upon those who were his enemies, those who were opposed to Israel and the people of God at that particular time. He says there in verse number 1, he speaks there of a sword of judgment. He talks about the great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan. The sword of God's judgment shall come upon the enemies of God. But as well as speaking here of the care of his people and the judgment of his enemies, it's also important here to note how the Lord goes on and he tells of his mercy toward those who are his enemies. That may seem strange in kind of the sentence of judgment that has been decreed in verse 1. But we must remember that God is one who remembers mercy in the midst of his wrath, in the midst of his judgment. And he goes on, yes, he speaks of his mercy toward those who were his enemies. And his mercy is such that he invites his enemies to turn from their sin and to turn from the rebellion against them. And he does so that they might experience and enjoy his saving mercy instead of his judgment. And my, you and I, we read here of this merciful appeal by the Lord to his enemies. In the words of our text tonight, verses 4 and 5 of the chapter, where the Lord says, "Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them, I would burn them together, or let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." What an appeal the Lord here makes. And in this merciful appeal by God to his enemies, you and I are also reminded, dear people, tonight, of the mercy of the God of heaven in the gospel. And what is that mercy? That mercy is such that he invites all, whoever they are, who repent of their sin, to come to him and to trust in him for salvation. Friends, tonight in our meeting, it is indeed this account of God's mercy to sinners that I want us to look at and focus our minds and our hearts upon. The first thing I want you to notice here tonight is the willingness of God to be reconciled with sinners. The willingness here of God to be reconciled with sinners. And we see that in what the Lord says at the beginning of verse 4 when he says, "Fury is not in me." And again, we see it further by what the Lord says in verse 5 of the chapter where he says, "Let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me." And here you see how it is the Lord himself who takes the initiative. It's the Lord himself here who takes the first step toward the sinner's reconciliation toward himself. And dear people, tonight in all of this, yes, we see the Lord's willingness for sinners to be reconciled with God. You know, whenever we think about this tonight, it is important to remember who God is. God, yes, is one who is eternal. God, yes, is one who is almighty. God, yes, is one who is holy. God, yes, is one in whom there is no sin, one in whom there is no blemish. The Bible speaks of the Lord in the book of Isaiah, and he's described there as holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Yet despite his infinite holiness, here in our text we see tonight, the Lord is appealing, yes, to his enemies to be reconciled with himself, to be at peace with himself. Here he is appealing in mercy to those who are sinners, sinners by nature and sinners by practice. Oh, see here the great mercy of God. My back in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and the verses 5 and 6, there we read of God's verdict upon man and his sin. And this is what it says there. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And there we see how God is grieved with man and his sin, his rebellion, his anarchy against God, and the things of God. All these things are grieving and offensive to God, the God of heaven. Yes, we can say tonight that sin is something that is completely contrary, completely foreign to the nature of God. Something that grieves God. Sin is something that God cannot have in his presence. He will not tolerate sin in his presence. The prophet Habakkuk says, of the Lord thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil and canst not look in iniquity. Yes, God is holy. And the character here of God's enemies in this chapter was one of exceeding sinfulness, exceeding waywardness, and rebellion against Almighty God. Yet to such here, he appeals to them, in the words of our text, to be at peace with him. He appeals to them to be reconciled with himself. In verse 5 of the chapter, he says, of such that he may make peace with me. And all this shows to you now the greatness, the wonder, the worth of the mercy of God to poor and needy sinners. You know, men and women, young people in our meeting tonight, just as God showed mercy here to sinners in the day of Isaiah and was willing for such to be reconciled with himself and to be at peace with him, so the Lord, I tell you, is still willing for sinners to be reconciled with himself even tonight. And friend, in the meeting tonight, if you are unsaved, understand this truth. The truth of the gospel is this, that the Lord, yes, is willing for you, a sinner lost and undone, unsaved and unrepentant sinner. He is willing for you to be reconciled with himself. He is willing for you to be at peace with God, your maker, God, your creator. Here we see the mercy of God. It is beyond all comprehension, all human understanding, that God should be merciful to sinners such as you and I. My, the Word of God reminds us of this fact times without number. Think of what we read in the book of 2 Peter. It says there, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There you see the mercy of God and calling sinners to himself in repentance. The Bible says, be ye reconciled to God. If you're not saved tonight, this is the message of God, the God of heaven, to you, to your heart, to your soul. He says, be ye reconciled with God. In the book of Job, it says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. And if you're not saved tonight, the message of the gospel is this to your heart. Be acquainted with God. Be reconciled to God. Be at peace with God. Friend, such is God's mercy, yes, that he is willing for you to be reconciled with himself He, the God of heaven, God of eternity, God who is altogether holy. Yes, he is willing for you to be at peace with him. My, his word to you tonight, who are yet unsaved through our text, is this. He says, that he may make peace with me. My, he calls you to be at peace with himself, to be reconciled unto God. You know, someone has once depicted the Lord as having a hand of mercy, and also as one who has a hand of justice. Well, tonight, dear friend, his hand of mercy is stretched out toward you, desiring, yes, calling you to be reconciled unto himself. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, if you're listening into this meeting tonight and you're not saved, the hand of mercy, of God's mercy, is stretched out toward you, calling you to be at peace with God, calling you to be reconciled with God, calling you to have done with the enmity that exists between your soul and God. Yes, we see here the picture of the Lord calling sinners in mercy to come to himself for reconciliation. But notice, secondly here tonight, notice the way for sinners to be reconciled with God. Notice the way for sinners to be reconciled with God. And again, you see this at the beginning of verse 5, where the Lord says, let him take hold of my strength. Let him take hold of my strength. And with those words, the Lord was inviting his enemies in the day of Isaiah to turn from their sin. He was inviting them, yes, to turn toward him. He was urging them to submit to him. He was appealing to them to seek him, to obey him, to trust him. It's important to note here what the Lord says when he speaks in verse 5 of the sinner taking hold. He says, of my strength. When the Lord here talks about his strength, he is referring to his arm. And in the scriptures, the arm of God and the power of God, it points you and I to Christ. It points you and I not only to Christ, but to his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. Turn over in your Bible to Isaiah chapter number 53, just a few chapters over from our Bible reading and where our text is found tonight. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. This chapter is all about the atoning death and work of Christ upon the cross for sinners. And I want you to see how verse 1 of the chapter begins. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom, notice it, is the arm of the Lord revealed. Who is Isaiah talking about there when he talks about the arm of the Lord being revealed? He's talking about Christ, the Son of God, who would die for sinners upon the cross. Look at verse 5 of the chapter, speaking of the arm of the Lord. He says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. When you read about the arm of the Lord in Scripture, you're reading about Christ, the Son of God. It's pointing you and I to Christ, the Savior of sinners. Go back to Isaiah chapter 51 and to the verse number 9. Just turn the page back there from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 51 and the verse number 9. Look at what is said there. And again, it's all about Christ. It says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Again, the arm of the Lord there is a mention of Christ, speaks of Christ. By the strength here of the Lord that is mentioned in our text, it points the sinner to Christ. It points the sinner to the Christ of God who died upon the cross of Calvary. And in our text tonight, whenever God calls here upon sinners to take hold upon his strength, what is he actually saying? He is actually here calling upon sinners to repent of their sin and to come by faith to Christ and to trust in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for their salvation. Now, this was the only way that those in the day of Isaiah could ever be saved from their sin and be reconciled with God and be at peace with God. It was by faith alone in Christ crucified, the arm of the Lord.
It was by faith in the precious blood of Christ shed of Calvary. Only through that shed blood could their sins be cleansed away and pardoned.
Friend, in our meeting tonight, not only was this God's way of salvation in the day of Isaiah, it is still the only way of salvation for sinners tonight. If you are still unsaved, this is the way of salvation for you. This is the way you must tread. This is the way, yes, you must walk. My, you can only be saved through Christ, through the arm of the Lord, through the Son of God, who died on the cross for poor and needy, guilty sinners. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can only have peace with God and be at peace with God through faith in Christ, through trusting Him as your Savior. Think of the words of Peter as he speaks of Christ in Acts chapter 4. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can only be saved through Christ. You can only have God's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and none other. He is the arm of the Lord. He is the strength of the Lord for your soul, to save your soul and fit you for heaven and pardon your sins. No one else can do that. No one else can do hopeless sinners good apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, the Bible speaks of Christ and says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And my, the only remedy for your sin is the blood of Christ. Only through the blood of Christ can your sin be cleansed away and your soul made clean and white in the sight of the holy God of heaven. Please understand tonight that if you are to be saved, if you are to know the joy of your sins forgiven, if you are to be at peace with God your Maker, you must repent and put your trust in Christ and in a sacrifice alone for your salvation. Why, the hymn writer says of Christ, salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. And if you are to experience God's saving mercy in your soul, then those words must be your testimony as well. Tell me tonight, is that your testimony? Are you trusting in the Savior's name? Are you trusting in the Savior's blood for the salvation of your soul, the pardoning of your sin, to make you right with God, bring you into a state of peace with God? We see here the mercy of God to sinners. He appeals to sinners. Friend, unsaved tonight in this gospel meeting, God is appealing to you. We see, yes, the way that sinners can be reconciled with God. It is by taking hold of the strength of the Lord, of the arm of the Lord, as it were, laying hold upon Christ with the arm of faith. Notice one final thing here tonight from our text, and it is this, the outcome. For the sinner who will not be reconciled with God, what is the end? What is the outcome for those who turn away from this call of God to reconciliation with Himself and to salvation through Christ and the Lord? Well, look at verse 4 of the chapter again. Here the Lord speaks of those who would not be reconciled to Him. Look at what He says there in the middle of verse number 4. He says, who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Notice the words there that the Lord uses. Here He likens the unrepentant sinner unto thorns and briars. And what happens to thorns and briars? Those of you who are farmers out in the field, what do you do with them? You burn them. Yes, they are burned up. And in this, God here is really telling us of His judgment upon all those who reject His mercy. All those who go on living in the rebellion of their sin before Him. Very interesting here to note that in the context of this chapter, the nation of Babylon, they did not repent. Hence, they experienced God's judgment upon them through the armies of the Medes and the Persians coming in upon them. Turn over with me to Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5, and you'll see this for yourself. Here you see God's warning to Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, the king of Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 5, verse 27, God's message to him was this: thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Verse 28, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. This was God's sentence of judgment upon Babylon. Look at what happened in verse 30 and verse 31 of the chapter. It says, and on that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. There you read of God's judgment coming upon the kingdom of Babylon. And people, that surely reminds us of the solemn truth that God is one who will always judge sin. God is one who will always punish sin. God is one, yes, who will punish those who reject His saving mercy, those who reject His call to repentance and His call to reconciliation and peace with Himself. They must face the judgment of God. There's no escape from this very fact that God is one who judges sin and God is one who punishes sin. This morning in our meeting, we're thinking about the return of Christ. And what is going to happen when Christ returns? He's going to gather His people to be with Himself in heaven and in glory. But when He comes back, He's also going to judge this world. Judge the ungodly. Judge the Christ rejecter. Those who have gone on in their sin, living in rebellion against His word, His truth, and the gospel. There'll be no escape for such on the judgment day when Christ returns. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at what Paul says there in verses 7 and 8 and 9 of that chapter. He says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Talking here about the coming of the Lord. What's going to happen when He returns? Look at verse 8, verse 9. Speaks of the Lord coming, He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. There you read of God's judgment at the end of time, at the end of this world, when Christ returns upon the unrepentant sinner, the Christ rejecter, the person who knows not the Lord, the person who has not a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unsaved friend, tonight heed the warning of Scripture, the warning of the Word of God. Unsaved friend, the truth of God's Word is this: if you go on in your sin, go on rejecting Christ as Savior, go on despising God's offer of mercy through Christ, then you too will suffer, yes, eternal judgment and hell for your sin. That's the end of a Christless life, of a gospel-rejecting life. Yes, you'll be cast down into hell, into the blackness of darkness forever. That place what God calls the lake of fire. And there you will be tormented in your sin forever and ever, without hope and without God. And my, with no hope at all for all of eternity to come. This is the warning that God is giving you tonight in our text. And He says of the unrepentant sinner, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? He says, I would go through them. I would burn them, He says, together. If you're unsaved, you'll burn together forever and ever with the Christ rejecters of all time, with the devil, and all the demons of hell, and all the fallen angels of God. What a way to spend eternity, separated from God forever, without hope in the lake of fire. But friend, tonight, this awful end need not be so. You can avoid it. You can escape it now in time. Yes, instead of everlasting hell, yes, you can be sure of everlasting life and heaven, everlasting glory. And my, the way to heaven is now in this life for you to repent of your sin, turn to Christ, and trust in Christ alone, trust in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. You'll be saved.
Your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be sure of heaven. You'll have the hope of glory. This is the message of the gospel.
Turning your Bible over to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And look at what the Word of God says there in verses 11 and 12 of the chapter. It says, and this is the record. This is what God's Word says and declares. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Friend, have you Christ tonight? That's the all-important matter. Have you the assurance of everlasting life in heaven? Praise God, when you trust Christ as your Savior, God pardons all your sin. He blots them all out through the blood of Christ. And He gives you a place in heaven. He gives you a place in glory. An inheritance awaits you in heaven when you know Christ and trust Christ and have laid hold upon Christ with the hand of faith. There's a story told of how there was a father, and he was once going to chastise his son for some wrongdoing. However, the son was saved from this chastisement by running with tears onto his father's arms, acknowledging his wrongdoing. And the son was spared the father's chastisement. And friend, in like manner, yes, I tell you tonight, God will be merciful to you. Yes, He will save you from the wrath to come. If only you will flee to Christ. If only you will embrace Christ and trust Him for your salvation and confess your sins to Him. Look again at what the Lord says there at the beginning of verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 27. He says there, fury is not in me. With those words there, God, yes, was telling His enemies in the day of Isaiah that He was really giving them here a window of opportunity. A window of opportunity to get saved and to be reconciled unto Himself. And dear friend, tonight, likewise, also God is giving you another window of opportunity in this gospel meeting for you to be saved and get right with God. And I would urge you tonight with every fiber of your being to seize this opportunity tonight. And to come to Christ tonight and trust Christ tonight as your own and personal Savior. Why do we say that? Because you and I were not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And if you die in your sin, all hope of heaven, all hope of salvation will be gone. Gone forever, taken away from your reach. That door of opportunity will be closed and closed forever. Therefore, friend, tonight unsaved, heed God's entreaty. Heed the merciful call of God in our text tonight. He says there, take hold of my strength. He's saying, take hold of me. Take hold of my Son with the hand of faith. Take hold upon Christ. Lay hold upon Christ. Trust Him as your Savior. And you will know life abundant. You will know life eternal. Your sins will be forgiven. Your place in heaven will be secure. And you'll have a hope for time. Not only for time, but for all of God's eternity to come. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the final hymn in our hymn sheets, number 305 in our own hymn book, a well-known gospel hymn. It asks the question, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift, and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. If you're not saved tonight, take hold of Christ. Trust Him as the anchor and the Savior of your soul. We'll keep our seats while we sing.
Yeah.
with a word of prayer. If there's one tonight and there's a concern in your heart about your need of Christ, your need of salvation, I urge you tonight to come to the Lord and get that matter settled for time and eternity. If I can be of any help to you, I'll be no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to Jesus Christ alone, who can save you and keep you unto life eternal. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. We thank Thee for the Word of God, bless it to our hearts. We thank Thee, Lord, a God of mercy, a God of grace. We thank Thee, O Lord, that we're still in the day of opportunity and in the day of grace. We thank Thee for each one in the meeting tonight that has come to Christ, who has realized their need of Christ for salvation. Bless them, lead them on with God. But Lord, for any who know not the Lord, speak to them tonight, and may they come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes in safety. Give us each one traveling mercies. Bless us throughout this new week that lies before us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be the resting and abiding portion of all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen.